Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. Sounds like the whole leadership team have gone on holiday, so they've got me this morning. We're going to start a mini-series through August, Promises to Remember When Fearful this morning, but there's another three to come which will deal with different subjects altogether. Promises to Remember when we're fearful. And you know, we all come with these anxieties and worries and fears, each and every one of us. So I think it's a good subject for us to open our ears to this morning and open our hearts to. So welcome. I want to thank the band for bringing us to this place in the service. You know, we've come, we've worshipped God, we've lifted him high. I thank you, Katie, for your beautiful voice. That baby girl is going to come out singing. Isn't she? Fantastic. It was beautiful. Now we're going to hear God's word spoken through my lips, but hopefully by the power of the Spirit he will speak into your situations, because I don't know them, but he does. And then we'll finish with some response from you. You could be an opportunity for you to actually respond and place some of your burdens upon him this morning, because I'm sure you have some. Each and every one of us have those things. So let's pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, be with me, I pray, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and be in all that I say. Be on my lips, Lord, be on my tongue. Lord, it's your voice we want to hear, not mine. Lord, your voice. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, open our hearts to receive your word this morning. Open our hearts, Father God, we pray, and our ears to hear, that we might receive from you, that we might respond and receive from you, Lord, all that we need in this life by the power of your Holy Spirit. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Well, promises to remember when you're fearful, when you're anxious, when you're worried. Anxiety is a great thing, isn't it? It's a really good thing, isn't it? Worried helps you sleep at night, doesn't it? Fear, it's a brilliant thing, isn't it? It's you know, it really helps the ulcers in your stomach, doesn't it? Isn't that right? No. Why is it then that we worry so much? It seems like it's something that we want to do. We worry about this, that and the other. And none of this is insignificant. It's all very important to us as human beings. We have worries as human beings. We come with those things. But what do we do with them? What do we do about them? One of the great worries we've had as a family in the recent couple of months is that our little 8-year-old grandson has a great fear of clowns. He was told, there he is, there's a lot of clowns in this world. No, this isn't Teddy, this is his fear. Clowns under the bed. He was told at school about these sort of scary clowns by a friend or a mate, and he was told that they live under his bed. And for the last 3 months we've had a right old game with him. We've had to sit up with him. He won't go to his room without us, so we have to sit with him before he sleeps, just to rub his back for him, mummy or daddy, nana. And it's a wonderful thing for us to do, in a way, to soothe our grandson. But what a shame that he's been told something which isn't true by a friend, warning him in his sort of, in his young heart. I suppose he thought he was helping Teddy. I don't know why he would say such a thing, but it's not true. There's no clowns under the bed, you know. And so often I think we've told, as we grow up as adults, things that really aren't true. Especially if you have a fear of something like not being good enough, you know, the fear of that. I'm not good enough. I won't be able to get on with this. I won't be able to do this. I'm not capable of that. And we're told that from an early age sometimes, that we're just not good enough, we're not right with this. And I think sometimes, you know, we have to be careful what we hear and what we listen to and what we begin to own as time goes on. So I could have picked all sorts of passages to speak into this situation this morning. The Bible is full of promises about when we're fearful and when we're worried. But I chose this. It's from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 13. And I'll read it now. And it's on page 729. 729, if you want to follow along with me in the Bibles. Page 729. But now, this is what the Lord says. See, the Lord, in the previous chapter and at the end of the chapter, was telling them why they'd been sent out into exile. But now, says the Lord, this is what I say. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. There's something like 15 promises in the next section of this. See if you can find them. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I'll try not to emphasize it, because it'll make it too easy for you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom. I give Cush and Seba for your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold on back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses and prove that they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved you and proclaimed I and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? Oh, what a fantastic passage to preach on this morning. What a privilege it is to bring the gospel out of the Old Testament passage of Isaiah. All scripture is for us. The promises we hear about are for us, but not all scripture is about us. This is about Israel. This is about Israel. Note who it's addressed to in the very first lines. It's addressed to Jacob. It's addressed to Israel. This is about Israel's situation that they were in their history. They were in exile. God took them into exile. They'd been a dreadful nation. They'd been so bad. They'd gone away from God. They were doing all the wrong things. They were not reaching out. They were not caring. They were not loving. They were not showing his face. And in the end, God intervened with what you might call tough love for his people, for his children, and took them off into Israel, into Babylon, sorry, using King Nebuchadnezzar to attack Jerusalem and lay it to ruins. and cut off all but a small remnant of older people and children left behind, just a very small remnant. The whole nation was moved out of Israel and into Babylon through Assyria in the north and Babylon in the south, where Iraq is today. And they lived there for about 50 years. They got a bit comfortable. They remarried into different religions. They became part of that nation, part of that culture. But now in this passage, God is going to bring them home. God is going to bring them back. As a huge change is about to happen for Israel. Here we find in this passage, Isaiah soars with the poetry of hope. Salvation at last has come to the exiles of Israel. God was bringing them home at last. No, this is not about us, but it is for us. God is bringing us home. God is bringing us home. We were exiles. I certainly was an exile to God, and I'm not the only one. We were exiles to God. We were far off. We were away. We weren't understanding him. We weren't following him. We weren't even acknowledging him. And that's certainly my story, and it may well be your story too. We were exiles, and God brought us home. And God is continuing to bring us home. But I have to say this, I'm often still an exile. I am often take myself off into exile. Do you, or am I the only one? I often do my own thing. I only want to please me a lot of the time. That's why I need to repent of that on a daily basis with God, in order to stay in tune with God, in order to stay on track with God. But often I'm an exile with God, and I need Christ so much to bring me back each time. A huge change was coming, and Isaiah gives us this hope that all will be well. God was bringing them home. God is bringing us home. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. He took them off into exile because they were bad, they weren't doing right, but he didn't leave them there. He didn't leave them in that place of exile. It took a while, it took a long time, but he never forsake them. He never forsook them. He always had an eye on them. He was overseeing them, and they were learning some lessons from that experience. And God brought them home. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank God. I thank God every day. When I became a Christian, it was the greatest thing that I have ever done. I didn't actually know it then. I responded to the gospel, and it was a wonderful occasion. But as I look back and see what that change did in me, over a long period of time, and I'm not perfect, far from it. You just talk to my wife. But what a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing when the gospel of hope was preached into my heart and I responded. It was a wonderful thing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Thank God. Thank God that I'm saved by grace. Amazing grace. That God did not forsake them in exile. They deserve to be forsaken. They you know, we deserve it, but we don't get it. God loves us with an everlasting love. I don't know if you ever have a fear that God doesn't love you enough because of the way you may be, or the way you are, or you know, you don't seem to change those bad habits or whatever. I wonder if you ever have that fear that God doesn't love me, really, can't possibly do. Well, let me just tell you, he does. He loves you like there's no tomorrow. You are sweeter to him than sliced bread. I don't particularly like sliced bread, but God loves you with it's amazing grace. He doesn't, you know, we don't deserve it, but he does. Now this journey we're on, it brings us home. We were lost, we're now found. Amazing grace. It does require faith. The journey requires faith. And I think that can be scary sometimes. It's certainly scary for blokes, I think, for men. I don't know if I'm wrong there, but it was scary for me. I didn't really want to do this. It took ages before I responded. I kept getting the gospel preached at me, and I just did not want it. I was worried about it. I thought it was going to change me. I thought it was going to alter me. You know, I quite enjoyed cleaning the car on Sunday morning. I didn't want to go to church. You know, I quite like having a pint in a pub. This was a Methodist church where I was converted. And I thought, oh no, I don't want to become churchy. You know, I don't want to become... And I held right back. And I don't know if you have those sorts of fears that you're worried about responding to this amazing grace, this amazing love that God shows to us. The fear of faith, it can be quite strong. Do not worry, do not fear. It's the greatest thing you would ever do. Respond, and you will find that that faith will make you into what God intends you to be. You know, I think as blokes, we sometimes think it's going to change us for the worse somehow. We're going to become, you know, flower arrangers or something. I don't... He doesn't want to change us. He loves us the way we are. What he wants to do is move us on from that. He wants to change us into what he intends us to become. And that certainly was the case for me, praise the Lord, in all power to his name. It was the fear of faith, the fear of stepping out. I don't know if a fear of stepping out in faith. You know, we're forever calling folks, aren't we, in the church to respond to some mission field or something. Or to perhaps, you know, share more of your money with us so that we might be able to serve better. And that's that fear of stepping out. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 to 31, we find... Matthew 14. We find this. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out with them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. Where was their faith? They were terrified. They were frightened because they saw Jesus performing this miracle. I suppose it was a bit crazy. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to him, take courage. This is not about beer, by the way. Take courage. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me, and I'll come on the water, and I'll come. Come, says Jesus. Come. Respond. Respond. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was afraid, and when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught hold of him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Fears, Jesus walks over them, all over them. He can walk on water. He can walk over our worries and our fears. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Get out of the boat. And you will find that in getting out of the boat, you will discover a deeper and a richer, not a sinking, a deeper, but a deeper experience of the Lord. You know, God responds to us when we take steps of faith. Do not be afraid. Do not fear doing that. I did. I was worried about that in different situations during my walk with God. I've often worried about actually responding to something. But every time I've done it, my experience is that it's fine. You never look back. It's okay. Nothing happens. You're fine. God will not take us to a place where he will drown us in something we can't cope with. When he calls us, we can respond fearlessly. And he will do his work in us. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. The word cast, just want to flag that up. The word cast in Greek is epiripto. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but I think I have. Epiripto. And the Greek word there is epi, is onto, and ripto is to hurl with great force. It's not just to place your anxieties onto him, but it's to get hold of those fears and chuck them upon him. Epiripto, the Greek word there, onto hurl with great force. And I want to encourage you this morning to get hold of some of those things that hold you back, that worry you, that frighten you, and throw with great force upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus, for he can carry them quite adequately. He's the risen Lord, and he wants to help us in these things. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Second point, main dangers. Many dangers, toils and snares. God is bringing us home. We're on a journey with him, but there will be dangers. Just because you walk with God, we only know that too well, don't we? It still brings troubles. We still have hard times. There are darknesses around us that we have to experience. There are many dangers, toils and snares. God is bringing us home, but there is still a danger. In verse 2, we find this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not burn. The flames will not set you ablaze. What's that all about? Well, you will face dangers. When you cross the rivers, it's not if you cross the rivers. We will face dangers in this life. And of course, Isaiah here is reminding them of their history. Really, the River Jordan, they crossed and safely did it. The waters of the Red Sea, they passed and safely did it. The flames, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the flames, and the flames didn't catch them. That's exactly what Isaiah's doing here. He's reminding them of their past and the way God worked for their good in the past. When they were frightened, when they were fearful, God made it happen. And sometimes I think that as human beings, we need to remember what God did in the past in order to give us strength for the present and the future. We sometimes forget what he's brought us through, and because we're still worried about things in the present. Remember David, when he was asked to go out and face Goliath, and he remembered, and Saul said, you know, you won't be able to do this, you know, you're not tall enough, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough. And David remembered that he once wrestled a bear, he once wrestled a lion, and he won that battle. And he knew then, by remembering what God had done in the past, that God would do the same as he faced his Goliath. Do you face any Goliaths? Are there any Goliaths in your life that are stopping you, blocking you, holding you back? You will face dangers. The journey requires trust. We need to trust God in those things, in those situations, when darkness comes, when situations befall us, and they will, and they do. We need to trust him. I don't think we trust him enough a lot of the time. It's pretty obvious that we don't, in the way that we are anxious and worried about so many things. Journey requires trust, and it's scary, I know, to trust. But fear not, I am with you. Fear of the future, many dangers, toils and snares. I worry about the kids, don't you? I have a fear about all sorts of things. Terrorism and unemployment, homelessness, disease, Brexit. Do you have a fear of what might happen in the future, where you're going, what's happening, what's going on? In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, you know it well. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Promises to remember when we're fearful about the future. Remember them and own them and believe them. Fear of the future can be a very great thing. Obviously, we all do that, I'm sure. When you pass through the rivers and the waters, the fire and the flame, scary stuff, Isaiah seems sure that they will, and when you pass through, we will pass through them, because that's life. Be not afraid. Fear not. Fear for our families. Fear for our finances. Fear for our future. The fears are real. They're real fears. God knows that they're real. You know, we need to recognize they're real, but not be fearful. And being concerned about them is okay, I think, I feel. Being concerned about the things is a good thing. Obviously, it prevents tragedies happening. It warns us of dangers. You know, obviously being concerned for something and avoiding something, there's nothing wrong in that. It's the fear thing. It's living under that blanket of fear. It's where God does not want us to dwell, under that blanket of fear. Concern, of course. Avoid dangers, of course. But don't be frightened about things. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious if you possibly can. Lay it on the Lord. Throw it onto God. Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that he should save a wretch like me. And many dangers, toils and snares I have already come and I will always face, I'm sure, in this life. But one day I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. My third point. That's good, isn't it? We're getting to the end. I shall possess. It's a surety. Within the veil, within the realm of God, a life of joy and peace. The kids are learning about joy this morning. Some of them are, anyway. What a wonderful thing to have that joy. Joy in the eye of the storm, the peace that can come in even in the dark times. I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. God is bringing us home for good. One day we will see his face. One day we will be with him. The journey that we're on requires obedience. Step out. Walk in obedience with him. Continue to work your salvation, if you like, with him, walking with him. But always remember that he is with us. The fear of death. Do you fear death? I had a conversation recently with someone and said, Christians shouldn't fear death. And I understand that. And I understand what you mean by that. But we're human beings. And we do, if we're honest. Lots of us do anyway. We fear that death. We're not quite sure, obviously, about it. The fear of death, do not be worried. Believe, says the Lord. John 14, 1-6. Again, another famous passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare that place for you, I will come back and take you to be where with me, that you also may be where I am. Who's doing all the work here? Jesus Christ is doing all the work. He's not sending an angel to go and get us when we die. He comes himself. I am going to prepare a place for you. And you know the way to the place where I'm going, Thomas said. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. You know this passage so well. Why did Thomas say that? He'd been with him for 3 years or so. Didn't he know? Didn't he know that this is Jesus, is the only way to the Father? Hadn't he not experienced the power of the resurrection in the life of Jesus at that time? Hadn't he not seen the miracles? Hadn't he not heard the words? Surely he would have known. How long have we been with him? How long have we been traveling with him? Surely we would know by now that he is the only way to the Father. The only way to the Father. There's no other way. There's no other ground to stand on. All other ground is sinking sand. I love that song. Jesus Christ. Why is he the only way? Because he's the only one who's died and risen from the dead. There has never been anyone who's done that Jesus paved the way. Jesus Christ alone, raised from the dead by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. And if you believe in the resurrection, which hopefully we do, if you don't, then do a study on it, because there's much more evidence than you would believe about the resurrection. There's more evidence about that. Then I think they say more evidence than there is about Julius Caesar. You believe in him, don't you? Why is it we doubt so much that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, and when we die we will be with him? He's not going to let go of our hand. If he holds your hand in life, he will hold your hand in death. Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, as human beings we will still have anxiety about dying. Of course. All sorts of reasons for that. But there is a surety in the Christian faith that says you will be okay. You will be with me. I will bring you home. Where are you in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Just let me end with this. Picture yourself as the Samaritan, as the the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Sorry, Dan. Where are you? Picture yourself as the prodigal. Are you going away from God? Well, I wouldn't have thought so. Probably not. Are you coming back to God? Journeying back from exile? You might say maybe. If you're a Christian, you're not going away from God. If you're a Christian, you're not coming back to God. You're with God. You are back with him. You are back in his house. You are back in his home. You are back in his arms. And you journey with him in repentance and prayer and constant communication and relationship with God. You are saved if you're a Christian. If you have given your life to Christ, if you have said that prayer and you've responded to the call in your heart of the gospel, you are saved. Have no fear about that. You might say, well, what? Well, we need to repent each time. We need to stay in God in repentance and forgiveness. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him. If you're worried about dying, don't cast it, throw it away, chuck it away. Forcefully, get rid of it. And of course, the children of Israel, which this passage was for them, about them, do make it home. In the year 538 BC, 50 years on or so, they were back in the promised land. And so shall we be. Absolutely. God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, that's you and me, anyone, ever should believe in him, will not perish, shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Pray God will bless us and keep us safe in all these thoughts and in all our feelings. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word of encouragement and hope. And pray, Lord, we recognize our unworthiness. We're often exiles. Lord, we were and you brought us back. We thank you for that amazing grace. We ask your forgiveness and your empowerment for the lives that we lead. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.